Welcome to The Toolbox with our hosts, Joe Mangi and
The Raven.
Buckle up and get ready. You're not going to want to miss a single second of this.
You're tuned in to 97.7 WVFF. This is The Toolbox. I'm your host, Joe. Last week, we were talking about semi-trucks, and this week, we're going to be talking about some micro-cars. I'm here with my host, Raven.
And keep it cranking.
Keep it cranking. I didn't think of anything to say for that. But micro-cars, as the name says, it's like really teeny cars. We really didn't get them in the States, unfortunately, unless you count like the smart car, which I count a smart car. Mm-hmm. But the origin of micro-cars can be dated back to the 1920s when European manufacturers started making small cars called cycle cars. As the name suggests, these cars were a cross between motorcycles and cars. They became popular after World War II due to the poor economic conditions, the lack of materials and infrastructure, because if you think about it, these big cars take a lot more stuff and material to make. Mm-hmm. So if you have a little teeny car that's like smaller than the size of this table,
yeah,
you know, you got little wheels, little door, little everything, little gas tanks.
Oh, yeah.
Take a couple bucks to fill them up. But yeah, we both got some stuff on them, so I figured I would let you go.
So I did a quick list of the 20 smallest cars around the world. This is everywhere. And we're going to start off with, now, don't get so upset with me for mispronunciations, because I'm not going to be able to pronounce all of these.
I can't even pronounce normal words today.
So we're going to start off with a car that started in South Korea called the Renault Twizy.
I've seen it. They did that. There was an episode of Top Gear, and they drove the Twizy.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. No. Teeny bitty little car.
Teeny. It's like one person wide.
Yeah, but what's crazy is I knew they've manufactured cars in South Korea, but they're like very strict government, very strict regulations on everything. So they're very particular about what can be put into a car and exact measurements, on everything.
And honestly, being a Renault, I thought it would have been manufactured in France.
No, it's main manufacturer of South Korea.
Interesting.
Oh, yeah. No, it was really funny. And then the Peel P50 is the number two car. So what's funny is that the Peel P50 still holds the Guinness World Record for being the smallest car, but the Renault Twizy is smaller.
I think it's skinnier.
Yes, skinnier. It's not as wide, but it's like...
The Peel P50.
Yeah.
I want one. They have a handle on the back. You could pick them up. You could drive them through that door right there. They're teeny. Jeremy Clarkson.
Yeah, I was about to say, favorite Top Gear episodes is when Clarkson did the car review.
Yeah, go to YouTube and just type the world's smallest car. Pops up. It's like a little blue thing.
You will not be disappointed.
It's like a little tykes car.
You will not be disappointed if you watch that video.
It is the answer to what we need.
It's also produced in Great Britain, Isles of Man. Pretty funny that they called it that. The Fiat 500, you can purchase one of these in Poland, Mexico, Italy. In two different places in Italy. In Turin, Italy, and Melfi, Italy. I know I probably did not pronounce that right. But that's one of their big sellers, is the Fiat 500, which, you know, everybody knows Fiat. The next is going to be a Smart 4.2, and it's made in Humbach, France.
Those are available in the U.S.
Oh, they are available in the U.S.?
Yeah, the Smart 4.2, it's owned by Mercedes.
I don't know if it's different manufacturers.
I don't know if you could still buy them, but I know, like, if you go to a Mercedes dealership a few years ago, you buy a brand new Smart car.
Oh.
And the 4.2 is the model. In Europe, they had a few different Smart brand cars.
Yeah.
But yeah, the 4.2 is the smallest one. I wonder why they call it the 4.2. Four wheels and two people, maybe.
I was about to say,
or you may fit four people in that.
I was about to say, it might be like four parts of the two.
I don't know.
No, this one's funny. It's a commuter car Tango, and it's made in Spokane, Washington. I want to know who gets paid to name these vehicles.
Wait a minute. Commuter cars?
Yeah.
And what? Okay, so that, it just jogged my memory. Oh my God, that's the ugliest car I've ever seen. It's like a cheese wedge. And it's electric. The heater, believe it or not, the optional heater is a hairdryer hardwired underneath the dash.
It is not.
Look it up. Like, I'm not even kidding. The commuter car. I completely forgot about it. But yeah, it's literally a hairdryer underneath the dash, and you turn the heat on, and it cuts the
hairdryer. I mean, I bet that'd be easy to replace. You just take out the old hairdryer and put in a new one.
I guess so. But yeah, it's, like, hooked up to the vents. It probably only has, like, one vent in that little car.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, no, I mean...
Oh, the commuter car. It's hard to look at. Like, it's, like, 1970s, like, aesthetic.
Yeah.
Block of cheese. You mix that with a block of cheese. It has, like, the bumpers that stick out 10 inches.
You know what state I bet would love the block of cheese?
Wisconsin.
Yeah, Wisconsin. Wisconsin. I bet they'd love the cheese car. So my next pick for it is the Honda Jazz. And this car is popular in Japan, Thailand. Thailand. I always pronounce that TH. China, Brazil, and the United Kingdom. I always pronounce that TH.
And if I'm not mistaken, the Honda Jazz is the Honda Fit in America.
Yeah,
I might be completely wrong, but I believe the Honda Jazz and the Honda Fit are the same.
Yeah, there's this a little... They have, like, a few restrictions over there, which is the Jazz, which is... You can't get the Jazz over here, I believe, in America.
It's because it's sold
else.
As the Fit.
Yeah, it's sold as something else.
Don't do intake gaskets on them. The bolts break. Ask me how I know. Yeah.
You busted like, a couple bolts on that.
You use, like, a quarter-inch drive wrench, and they still snap with nothing. You're like, what the heck?
Oof.
What the heck, Honda?
Oof. And I thought Honda was supposed to be good manufacturer.
I mean,
you hear that?
You don't need all the bolts. You don't need all those intake bolts if you break a couple.
Didn't yep. On my Honda Accord, wasn't it the plastic tacks to keep the front bumper on?
Everything. I have a kit of, I call them the Christmas tree tacks.
Yeah.
I have a kit of those now.
It was literally, it reminded me of like the thumb tacks that you would put on the bulletin board, the little flathead ones.
Yeah,
that's
yeah,
literally what
in.
It reminded me of, and you would just pop them in.
But if there's any dirt on them, when you pull them out, they just break.
Oh,
and
yeah.
It's like, oh. Okay.
Yeah. No, I think by the time we were done with it, I started out with like 8 clips, and I think we were down to 4.
Yeah,
we were done.
4 and some zip ties.
Putting it together. Next on my list was the Mini Cooper. This is a very popular car. It's manufactured in England, Netherlands, and China. So they have Mini Cooper. The Mini Cooper BMW, which is different.
Yep.
It is predominantly produced in England.
Yes.
And I found it funny is that they have the Mini Cooper and then you put in BMW and it's completely different ballgame.
Yeah, so the new Mini Coopers that like you buy and you see them on the road, those are manufactured by BMW. But
not all Mini Coopers are.
No, the original like Morris Minis.
Yeah.
Those are the teeny ones.
Yeah, those are going to be your England and China.
But if you do look up a picture of an original Mini Cooper next to a normal Mini Cooper,
I think the what's Minis really funny. So I think what's really funny was the episode in Top Gear was when they had Team Britain had the Mini Cooper and Team Germany had the Mini Cooper, but they were two different cars. But they looked outside looked the same there and about, except the German wasn't it smaller.
No, they're the same. So if you think of Mini Cooper, you think of Britain.
Yeah.
But they're owned by BMW, which is the Germans.
Yeah.
So, which one is it now? One thing, you could tell how German it is by the more British flags on it. The BMW ones, you get the British flag on the roof, on the mirrors, in the taillights, everywhere.
Oh, yeah.
German.
No, I've seen those.
100% German.
Those really crack me up because it's never a German or a British person driving those cars.
No, it's always an old white lady.
Yeah.
Oh, speaking of minis, okay, so this is kind of a tangent.
Yeah.
But the new, like the current Mini Cooper S.
Yeah.
They are either turbocharged or supercharged from the factory.
Really?
Yeah.
Why?
I don't know. Back in the day. So back in the day when the Mini Cooper S came out.
Yeah.
Back in the day. And like, like the early 2000s when Mini came back out with the Cooper S.
That's back in our day, yeah.
The S supercharged.
Oh.
And then in like 2014 or 2015, something like that, they went to turbos. But I would have never thought that the car was supercharged. Like yeah, it's one or the other, I think.
Ooh.
Or it could be completely
So wait, do
wrong.
You get to pick or do they just like...
It's based on production.
So it's where you buy it from.
Well, I think it's like the year. Like, I know when they first came out, they were all supercharged.
Yeah.
Which is sick.
Yeah.
And then they went to turbos, which is also cool, but like a lot of stuff is turbocharged now.
Yeah.
So you see it like something new at a supercharger. It's neat. It's either a Hellcat or a Mini Cooper S.
Yeah.
There's no in between.
It's really funny. Next car on my list was the Volkswagen Polo. And I found this funny. I thought being Volkswagen that it was going to be in Germany, but they're only manufactured in Port Elizabeth.
Where is that?
In Britain.
Oh.
Yeah.
Huh.
Yeah, no, and I Volkswagen, I automatically assumed they'd be manufactured in Germany, but they're only manufactured in Port Elizabeth, Britain. Or United Kingdom. I don't know how they split their territories. If anyone in Britain's listening to this, please don't get angry with me.
Great Britain.
Great Britain, Britain, United Kingdom, they're all British. They just speak a little different. That's how they probably think of Americans.
Britain's really weird. Yeah, because like Great Britain is Britain, Scotland is like all of them.
Yeah, but is it United Kingdom the upper part of it?
No, I think it's all of it.
Because
they're
of
united,
it?
Yeah. Like the United States, but not as good.
We're not racist.
Wait, how would that? That's the same thing.
No, it's not. Continuing on, Ford Fiesta. This one is basically produced everywhere. They're in Germany, Spain, United Kingdom, Brazil, Mexico, China, Thailand, Vietnam, which I thought was crazy. I didn't know they were still producing new cars in Vietnam. Taiwan, India, Venezuela, and even Russia.
Yeah.
Like, this car is made everywhere. There is a version of a Ford Fiesta everywhere, and every single one of them is supposedly different, except they all look the same.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. They all share a lot of the parts.
Yeah.
For some reason, Ford had the bright idea. It's like, man, what if we made a car that we could sell it everywhere instead of, like, having to change a bunch of stuff?
I mean, but I feel like that's, like, smart investment-wise, because, like, if you buy this car in Europe, anywhere you go over there, there's going to be somewhere that's going to have the parts that you need.
Yeah.
Like, if you break down on a European road trip, that'll be a car that you'll be able to fix easily. You can take it anywhere and be like, oh, Ford Fiesta, we gotcha.
Yeah, like, yeah. So the U.S. spec Ford Fiesta is very similar to, like, it's the same platform.
Yeah.
I think they called it the global car or the world car or something like that.
I mean, I feel like that's a company-wise, that's a good money investment.
I can't believe it took them so long for someone to do that.
Mass produce a car that could be fixed and manufactured everywhere.
Yeah. Yeah, like, wouldn't that be, like, priority number one to sell it everywhere?
You would think, but I guess not everyone wants to invest everywhere. Okay, I'm not going to pronounce this right. And
Izetta.
That is an S.
Izetta.
Why is that an S and not a Z then?
That's a good question.
Because they're German, that's why.
guess so.
No, so this car, an Isetta, was produced in German, Brazil, Argentina, France, and the United Kingdom. So it's a very popular European car.
Got the door in the front, the one door in the front.
Yeah, yeah.
No, doors on the side.
Did you do the topic on it?
Sure didn't.
You didn't? I might have done it. I might have picked it.
You did the one that's just like an Isetta.
Oh,
but
that's
somehow
right.
It's different,
yeah.
Even though it's the same thing.
Yeah, no, I've got some cool pointers on that one. A Kia Soul. So what I found funny about this one is that they're primarily produced in South Korea. Like, that's their biggest buyer.
Yeah, Kia and Hyundai, South Korea.
I didn't.
Yeah.
I thought that was a little wild. I thought America.
Mark.
I thought America would be the producers of Kia Souls. Because every time you see a Kia Soul on the road, it's always driven by a knucklehead.
Yeah.
But
and honestly,
Their design center is in California, but the most produced is in South Korea. Also in Slovakia.
Huh.
It's also a well-known car in Slovakia.
Just a little cube.
Mm-hmm. I mean, again, small cars are easier to produce and ship out, I guess. Yeah. So
I mean, the Kia Soul, I think the Kia Soul is probably the biggest car on this list today.
Yeah.
Because you can fit like 4.5 people in there.
Yeah, you can. So it probably is. The next car would be a Vespa 400. And I have a little bit more info on that one. But they are mainly produced in France. C'est la vie. a Rivia. I'm probably not pronouncing that one right. And that is an Indian car.
Okay.
The next one is going to be a Chevy Bolt EV, and they are produced in Michigan.
Chevy Bolt gets the award for the worst taillights. I hate their taillights. That's the car that...
Are they the ones with the bubble lights?
No. It has what appears to be taillights.
Yeah.
Where taillights would go.
Yeah.
Down in the bumper.
Oh my god, I know what you're talking about.
Those lights are the turn signals. Nope, turn signals are also down below.
Those are just their decoration. They're decoration.
Yeah,
lights.
I don't understand. Maybe they're the running lights?
But my thing is, isn't there a law that your signaling lights aren't supposed to be below a certain level? They're supposed to be at a certain height, aren't they?
Well, I think what it is.
Isn't that a road law? Like, or I thought it was a road law, but I guess not, because it seems like all the new cars are getting their turn signals and taillights on their bumpers.
I think what it is, because all the new cars keep getting bigger and bigger, so by law they can't have them at that height, even though it looks like a normal height.
Yeah, that's
why
where
they drop
I
them
look.
Down into the bumper.
But it's crazy because nobody looks.
Yeah, nobody
no
looks down there.
No one's looking down there. To see if you're signaling, if you're stopping. Like, no one's looking at that light. And what's even crazier is that they're doing that, but they're also not putting in that third brake light in the middle.
Yeah, and they're not using the...
Yeah, they're not even using
the lights
accessories.
You got the lenses there. Just run that wire. Have
just
two.
Just for look.
Have
they're
two.
Just, they're just for looks.
Be twice as safe.
It's just for looks. That would make too much sense, babe.
I mean, people don't use turn signals anyway.
That's
why. They're like, just put them. Nobody uses these anyway. Just put them down there.
Just put them down. It's okay, as long as they're there. Now, you have a pronunciation for this, and I have a pronunciation for this. So I think it's pronounced. We're both fumbling English today. Goggle-mobile?
I think it's go-go-mobile. Because a go-go mobile, who would want to buy one of those?
There's missing an O for go.
No, there's two O's.
Go.
Yeah, so it's spelled G-O-G-G-O mobile.
Mobile. So I thought it was goggle mobile.
I think it's go-go mobile.
But
I'm sticking to it.
They're produced in
Bavaria.
Bavaria. And I have no idea where that is.
I think, isn't that part of, like...
I know it's over there.
Yeah, that's, like, near Russia. That's, like, Soviet Union stuff, ain't it?
Ah, okay, that would make sense.
Bavaria.
My next pick, I have 2, 3, 4, 5. I have 5 more cars on this list. Sorry, everybody. The Hyundai i20 is manufactured in Turkey. The BMW Isetta, that's a different from the other Isetta we were
talking
about.
It's exactly the same.
But different.
I think the difference is one says BMW.
Yeah, that's the only, that's literally, and that's what I find really funny is that they have a lot of these cars with the exact same names made by a couple of the exact same manufacturers, but because it's got a BMW in front of it, it's completely different car.
It has all the screws in it.
Quotation, completely different car. And these are manufactured in Germany, Brazil, France, Argentina, United Kingdom, Spain, and Belgium. I thought Belgium was part of Germany, but apparently they're different areas.
Yeah, this is not a, I can't even think of the word.
What?
This is not a geography podcast.
This is not. No.
Yeah, speaking of BMW, Izetta.
I can tell you we're not flat earthers, though. The Buddy was the next car, and it's Oslo.
Never heard of that.
No idea. I know that's also over the waters and through the woods.
But you showed me a picture of a Buddy earlier.
Yeah,
and it is also a BMW Izetta.
I think
it's the same car. They keep making them.
I think it looks closer to a Beetle, but except they took off the front of it and gave you just the back end of it.
And you got the one door.
But it's the same. It looks, to me, it looks exactly like the same, like the back end of a Beetle, and where you would normally open it up for the trunk.
That's your door.
That's the door. That's the door to climb into the car.
That's one of the few cars, so that's one of the few true micro cars that did sell in America. The Izettas, the BMW Izettas.
Ooh.
They're really expensive now.
Oh, I have no doubt. And I guarantee they're probably super rare over here as well.
Oh, yeah.
Because people probably trashed them.
Westland Chaplin bought one, and then he cut the front off a street bike off, and he put the street bike in the back.
This is why we don't have nice things.
He put the street bike in the back of the Izetta.
Because crazy guys like you take these beautiful old cars, chop them up, and attach rockets to them.
No, he took the engine out, and then they pushed the street bike into the back of it. It's still Izetta, except for like the drive
Izetta
train.
Part.
Yeah, except for the Izetta part.
It's still an Izetta, except for the Izetta part. Okay, my last two cars is a Myers Motor MG, and they're made in Ohio, one of our state's cars. And the
Never
last one
it.
Is a Foldermobile.
Yeah, Foldermobile?
It's German. That's all.
I have no idea what that means.
I have some more info on them. But they were produced in German.
They were produced in German.
They were
inside
produced
inside a German.
Today. There's too much.
Oh.
Okay.
Is it my turn?
Yes, it is your turn. I am done with my list. Those were the top 20 small cars around the world. And then now we're going to dive into our top picks of those teeny tiny cars.
So
of our favorites.
When I think of micro cars, I think of the Fiat 500.
Mm-hmm.
Because, like, yeah, you go to a Fiat dealership, wherever that may be, and you could buy a new Fiat 500. The new ones are 144 inches long, 64 inches wide.
Mm-hmm.
And if you see one, you're like, wow, that's a teeny car.
Yeah.
But the original Fiat 500, made in 1957, was when it was introduced. That one, 116 inches long and only 52 inches wide. That's over 2 foot shorter and 1 foot skinnier than a current Fiat 500. Can you still fit four people in it? That's what they say.
Can you?
Yeah, I think so.
Really?
It's an Italian car. It was pretty much based.
So not four-sized Americans.
I think so.
Really?
I really want one.
Because we tend to be bigger than Europeans.
Yeah. Yeah. But that being said, so the original one. Oh, I can't even see where I left off. All this is scribbles, I swear. But yeah, so it's a foot skinnier, 2 foot shorter than a current one. Still had a top speed of 53 miles per hour. I think that's only with one person in it and not four. Another fun fact about the original Fiat 500s, they were all ragtops. Not convertibles, but they had a like a sunroof, but instead of glass, you know, the cloth that comes back?
Mm-hmm.
And they did that because after World War II, there was a, like, metal shortages. So they're like, yeah. Oh, we're not going to fill the roof in. We're going to put some cloth up there.
Yeah.
And they're super sick, and I really want one. I think...
Are those the ones that remind me of Luigi?
Luigi from Cars?
Yeah.
Is a Fiat 500.
Hey!
AKA a Cinquecento.
Ooh!
Yeah, that's all I had on the Fiat 500. I really want one. They're teeny. And they're two-stroke.
They're teeny. Oh, could you drift it?
I mean, they're rear-wheel drive. And the Gran Turismo 5 or 6, I had one that was, like, maxed out. It had, like, 28 horsepower.
Oh, my goodness.
That thing was a beast.
Why do you even need that much? Because why not?
Yeah, spend hundreds of thousands of dollars in fake currency online to do 70. Yeah, that's all I had for the Fiat 500. Oh, you want me to do the next one?
Are we going back and forth with this?
Yeah, I thought we were going back and forth.
Oh, okay, then yeah. I will do my... Ooh, that was probably super loud. I'm sorry.
Be aware, headphone listeners.
I am terribly sorry. We're just loud and obnoxious Americans. So, my car I picked was the Peel P50. I think that's a super cool car. It's just an adorable little British car. I think they're super funny. And it was the smallest car ever made. It was produced, so they aren't making them anymore. They were produced between 1962 and 1965. So they don't make them anymore, but you can still find them around and about.
There's a company, I don't know if they're still doing it, but a few years ago, a company bought like the rights to it.
Yeah.
And they were remaking, like, I think they were electric ones or something. But going off on a tangent, so the reason that car is so small is they wanted it to be almost cheaper than walking.
Almost.
That's what Clarkson said in that video. When that company bought the rights and they started making them, they were like $8,000. So I think they're more expensive than walking now, unfortunately.
Well, just because it's electric doesn't mean it's better.
I would like the stinky two-stroke one. Because they were like two-stroke with like 4 horsepower, 3 horsepower or something like that.
Yeah, well, if you let me...
I'm sorry, go I'm just babbling.
If you let me go on my tangent, I would tell you. So, the rough specs on how big this car was, it was roughly 54 inches long and 41 inches wide. Teeny, baby, teeny, tiny car.
Yeah, smaller than a front door.
Yeah. But you could still fit a singular able-bodied person in there.
Fit one whole human in it.
One whole human. The car has held the Guinness World Record title for the smallest car made for 50 years now. Only has 3 wheels also, which is really funny.
One door.
One door, only has one door, and it has a 3.15 horsepower engine, which roughly gets it up to 20 miles an hour.
I mean, in a little
Depending on the model, so not all of them can get up to 20.
Oh, okay.
And this is only the one with the fully loaded. Yeah, with the fully loaded big motor. It also does not have a reverse gear, but it has a handle on the back end, so you can pick it up and roll it around like a suitcase.
Yep.
That was actually one of their selling points in an ad that they had posted for it, is that you can roll it just like a suitcase.
Yeah, just pick it up.
So imagine being in the car and someone just walks over and just picks you up and rolls you away.
I mean,
what are you going to do?
Talk about theft. Get back here.
I wonder why they never put it in Grand Theft Auto.
Right? Just pick it up.
Just pick it up and take it. Person and all.
So, the next one I did, the company, mm-hmm. Go-Go Mobile. And I'm going to die on this hill. That's how you pronounce it.
I think goggle's funnier.
So, however you pronounce it, was a microcar company.
Yeah.
Between the years 1955... In 1969, they produced multiple models from a sedan, a van, even a pickup truck.
Ooh.
And these things are teeny. I don't understand what you can put in the bed of one.
I mean, it's and watermelon. Than average pickup trucks
you
nowadays.
Put one watermelon. all these microcars, all their engines, they had a few different engines you could get. They ranged from a 13.6 horsepower all the way up to an 18.5 horsepower engine. But the vehicle that caught my eye from this manufacturer, I didn't even know it was a thing until I just Googled it. The Dart. Not a Hemi Dart. Not one of these crazy fast Chryslers.
Yeah.
But the Dart was a no-door roadster. Didn't have a roof. It looks like something out of the Jetsons. That being said, I think it looks phenomenal. I really want one. Featured a rear engine, rear-wheel drive with a four-speed manual. Weighed 761 pounds, had a top speed of 60 miles per hour. Only around 700 were made. It was only 10 feet long and 4.5 feet wide. And it looks really, really cool. It made in the 60s. It has that cool 60s vibe.
That's crazy, though, is I'm 5 foot tall. So if I laid down sideways, I would be wider than that car.
Oh, yeah, teeny.
That's crazy.
I mean, they pretty much had similar to lawnmower engines in these things. Yeah, that's all I had for that one.
Sorry, I was looking something up.
Oh, jeez.
Well, no, okay, so I can't ask you this question because every time I ask you, what is horsepower in miles per hour? You're like, oh, it's something completely different. And then you and I always get into an argument about
yeah,
that.
It's not
so
a thing.
I wasn't going to ask you. I was just going to Google what a 12 horsepower engine could do in miles per hour.
We get into that argument all the time.
I swear. I'm going to die on that hill, too.
Horsepower isn't speed.
So then what is it?
If you're listening, call us up. Tell us what horsepower is.
What's the point? Why do I need to know what the horsepower is then? Like, why can't someone just say, hey, it gets up to 70? If somebody looks at me and says, oh, it's got 12 horsepower, what useful information is that for me? Is that important?
For your listeners.
Why can't anyone just go, oh, it can get up to 25 miles an hour?
For these listeners. Base model Camrys, 2024, 2025 Camry, 300 horsepower, out of the box.
Joe and the Raven will be back. More to come after these messages.